Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Justine Naylor, who is Conjoint Associate Professor at the Southwestern Sydney Clinical School of the University of New South Wales, and is also Senior Principal Research Fellow at the Ingham Institute of Applied Medical Research. Good morning, Justine. Thank you for your time.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You've co-written some research on total knee replacements, essentially, and how we rehabilitate afterwards. Tell me a little bit about what hypothesis you were trying to test.
Rehab after knee replacement is a very common pathway after surgery, such that most people, clinicians, patients, assume it's required. And there's been a fair amount of research that's looked at whether clinic-based programs, such as one-to-one or group, provide better outcomes than home programs. But very little research has gone into comparing whether the most intensive pathway, so an inpatient rehabilitation pathway, provides better outcome compared to any other alternative, whether they be clinic-based or home-based programs. And so we set out to determine whether patients who followed an inpatient rehab pathway, plus or minus ongoing community physiotherapy after that, had better outcomes compared to those who were discharged directly home after surgery and had community-based physiotherapy as well. Okay. So our hypothesis was, do patients who go to inpatient rehabilitation after knee replacement have better outcomes than those who don't?
Let's backtrack a little. Why is this important? I mean, are knee replacements on the rise? What's the incidence of them?
Since 2003, and that's sort of the date that the National Joint Replacement Registry used, that says from there we've had fairly complete data on how many knee replacements are done in this country per year.
Yeah.
So from 2003 to now, the volume of knee replacements done per year has gone up over 130%.
Wow.
So now we're doing over 50,000 primary knee replacements every year in this country, and that number's going up by about 4 or 5% every year.
Why are we suddenly weak at the knees?
Yeah, well, it's partly because we're an ageing population, so people are living longer, and therefore more people are manifesting osteoarthritis in their knees. But also the surgery is so good, so people are prepared to undergo the risk of surgery in order to improve their knee pain and function.
Yeah.
So there's more people are wanting the surgery, more people require the surgery.
What did you expect to find, and what did you find?
So I guess given that inpatient rehab involves around 10 to 14 days of very intensive therapy in that first 2 to 3 weeks post-surgery, we thought it's very possible that we may find that those patients have better mobility and patient-reported outcomes early in the piece. Now, within the first 3 months, whether that's maintained for 1 year, we're not sure, but we thought, well, they're getting very intensive therapy, which includes hydrotherapy as well as gym-based therapy.
Yeah.
So we could well find better outcomes in these patients. What we found was at 35 days, 90 days and a year post-surgery, there were no better patient-reported outcomes in patient-reported quality of life, so their today general health score and their joint-specific knee score compared to those who went straight home. So we didn't actually support our hypothesis.
Yeah.
The findings didn't actually support our hypothesis, which was we thought we might see better, at least short-term outcomes in those who had this more intensive rehab pathway than those who didn't. In this study, we only looked at patients who could otherwise be deemed fit to go straight home after surgery. So mm-hmm. patients who were referred to inpatient rehab because they were progressing poorly after surgery or had a significant complication early on or indeed in that first 90 days after surgery, we remove from our analysis, because those things can confound our results. So what we did was we say, looking at people who could otherwise go directly home, let's see if those who went to inpatient rehab had better outcomes than those who didn't.
Yeah.
And the answer was no.
What do you think about why this result came
about? Well, it's difficult to know exactly why we're not seeing superiority of the more intensive program. But what we're seeing is consistent with what we've seen elsewhere, and that is what I said earlier, was that in other studies where we've compared clinic-based programs, so one-to-one or group-based programs, mm-hmm. to home programs, whether those home programs be monitored or unmonitored. And what that means is a monitored home program is where a patient might come in to see a physio two or three times over the first 3 months, but basically fundamentally do their own exercises at home, versus an unmonitored home program, which is where a patient gets discharged from hospital and no one sees them again, except their surgeon, maybe it's 6 weeks post-surgery.
Yeah.
What we've seen in that scenario, so clinic-based versus home, is we see no superiority of the more intensive program. So in this current study where we've said, well, what about those who've gone to the most intensive rehab pathway, so inpatient, compared to those who just have clinic-based or a home-based program? Again, we're not seeing any superiority. And I guess what we're seeing is we're consistently seeing that in this early phase post-surgery, it looks like it doesn't matter how intense the rehab is, we don't seem to be penetrating that recovery envelope. So in other words, no matter what pathway you follow, your recovery is very similar, how intense or non-intense your program. And I don't really know what the biological explanation is for that, except that perhaps in that early phase when people are still in lots of pain and still have lots of knee swelling,
yes.
and still have lots of what we would call muscle inhibition due to that pain and swelling,
yes.
no matter what you do, your body will really dictate how you recover and nothing else.
Yeah, it presents some interesting conclusions really for the insurance business, doesn't it? I mean, people with private health insurance who can afford or will get inpatient rehab as part of their insurance package are not really getting much for their money in that sense, are they?
I guess we should sort of point out that, yes, inpatient rehab is by far more available in the private sector than the public sector, and that's because public rehab beds just aren't really available to the same extent as they are in the private sector. And private patients can very much choose their pathway, and almost half of them will choose an inpatient pathway if their insurance covers it.
Yes.
And we've done other studies where we've asked patients, what is it that makes you choose that pathway, and what is it that you hope to get out of rehab? And it's not really about efficacy. It's more about the convenience of the pathway.
Right.
So I guess it depends on, from an efficacy point of view, you're right, patients and insurers and indeed society aren't necessarily getting high value out of the inpatient pathway in terms of efficacy, but I guess private patients value it for other reasons, and that may be that that they're not burdening their significant other. They also get to see their rehab physicians whilst they're in inpatient rehab, whereas the patient who goes directly home needs to go to their GP to have their medical follow-up undertaken. So I guess it depends on what we call, I guess it depends on how patients value that care, and yes, from an efficacy perspective and therefore a cost, the inpatient pathway would not be considered high value care, but people may continue to choose that pathway for reasons other than efficacy.
Yes.
And I guess the onus is on researchers like myself and insurers and rehab physicians and doctors and physios to educate patients who are having this surgery about the rehab pathways available and what's associated with better outcomes and what isn't. So, and then hopefully patients will choose pathways that are good value for them.
So what's next in terms of what research needs to be done next?
as I said, that in our study we excluded patients who might otherwise need inpatient rehab because yep. they've had a significant complication or they're progressing slowly. What we probably need to find out is what is the best rehab pathway for those patients? Is it staying in the acute hospital longer or is it going to inpatient rehab and for how long? We also need to ask the same question in patients who've had hip arthroplasty
yes.
Or hip replacement, because a similar scenario exists after hip replacement with, again, many private patients choosing to go to inpatient rehab, not to the same extent as knee replacement patients, mind you, but still it's a very common treatment option. So we still need to look at that and see if that's inpatient rehab's a more effective pathway for hip patients.
Yeah.
Hip patients do recover more quickly than knee replacement patients, so their recovery trajectory might be a little bit different to the knee patient. So we can't assume the same results are going to apply for hips as they do for knees. And so the good news is if you don't have access to inpatient rehab beds,
yep.
you're not being compromised because yep. of that in terms of your patient-reported recovery and in terms of mobility as well, which is what we found in our previous randomised controlled trial.
Which is all good news for Joe Public, who doesn't have private
health
insurance.
It is. It's very good news yeah. for Joe Public. And it's good news for the private patient too, because not all private patients choose to go to inpatient. It's an expensive pathway. It puts costs on our health yes. private health insurance premiums. So if we wanted to make take pressure off our private health insurance premiums and... one way to do that is for insurers to cover, care that is high value. Thanks, Kate. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justine. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.nja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.